Hello, Internet! I'm Ewan Spence.
I'm Richard Taylor.
I'm Charlene Wright.
And you are an interloper.
Stefan Gorkum, hi.
Yeah, I'm never going to manage that. It's far too early. Yes, good afternoon, good morning, good evening. Welcome to your daily insight into the Junior Eurovision Song Contest, coming to you backstage from the Mediterranean Conference Centre here in Valletta, the capital of a little stormy island in the middle of a calm Mediterranean. There is rain thundering down, there is lightning, there are melting fuse boxes. It's all starting to get rather frightening.
It's getting exciting.
Yes! And the man climbing the wall today, hoping that he doesn't fall off and gets to go home and see his parents again, Stefan Gorkum. I can't just about manage that from ESE Daily, joins us today.
Hi.
Hi, okay. That's it. Protect. Be confident, my boy.
All right. For today, I'll be looking forward mostly to Australia, because it's the country that we follow at ESE Daily more than any other ones. And also because I'm really looking forward to see how her personality that I've seen at the party here and her enthusiasm, if that translates to how she will go on stage.
Yes, we have a lot of rehearsals on stage today. We're going to look back in the show at what we saw yesterday. We saw about half the songs, but also coming up today and also joining us on the podcast, we have Richard Taylor again once more from Eurovision Ireland.
Hello again.
What are you looking forward to for today?
I'm actually looking forward to seeing how Armenia transforms their video onto the stage, because I'm really looking forward to that song.
Indeed. And Charlene Wright, as always, from ESC Insight, here to keep me right. Looking forward today?
I'm looking forward to today. Obviously, Australia here as well, I would have to say. And Belarus. I'm really looking forward to hoverboards.
Yes, they have been screaming around the hotel lobby on those hoverboards. And it's just, for me, I think it's Ukraine, because they have a very delicate video with some props. And there's a lovely, I'm wondering which bit of the video they're going to bring out to be their stage show, or if they have something completely different. All of that to look forward to today. We will bring you details on that tomorrow. In today's show, we're going to look back at the first tech rehearsals from Italy, Ireland, Cyprus and the Netherlands, Israel, Macedonia, Malta and Poland. Just to keep you right, everybody gets two technical rehearsals on stage, 40 minutes and then I think it's 20 minutes or 30 minutes, but they get a slightly shorter time the second one. It's far too early for me to check those details, and if I get it wrong, somebody will email me anyway, so I'll just let them do it. They go through, they can do whatever they like on stage. They could run through the song 8 times, they could run through it once, they could spend some time blocking out the camera moves. Once they've done it on stage, they'll go back, they'll watch it on monitors and discuss changes, and they'll come back and do it again. The next chance is the dress rehearsal, and that's part of the whole show where you only get to do it once. So this is the time for countries to experiment, to see what works, to see what doesn't, and to see what goes on. So we opened up with Italy, and an incredibly simple presentation going on here of Caramama. It's kind of what you expect from a typical Junior Eurovision performance of recent times, which is you go out and you sing, you've got a little bit of backdrop, you've got a little bit of smoke, and that's about it.
Absolutely, and I have to say, from the footage I've seen of it, she definitely looks more confident than I expected. Certainly much more proficient as a performer, which really it shouldn't come as a surprise, because Italy do this thing very well.
None of the performances, although they do come as a surprise, they shouldn't, because these performers have been doing this for a long time. A lot of them have went through competitions, not necessarily televised, some have in national finals, and some have been through other competitions as well. So they do have that sort of discipline already into them. There are extra skills to pick up, such as, you know, finding the red light, spotting it on the camera, and that is one of the things that they actually learn with the stage time here during the rehearsals.
Yes, and I thought you could see that with Fiamma, but with a lot of the other countries as well, that there was kind of a professionalism to them, that they knew where the cameras were.
Moving on to our second one there, Zaira Donnelly and Bricha Brich for Ireland. Really nice to see Ireland here back at the contest. And again, that maturity of performance. Zaina went through the national final last year for Ireland to finish second.
Yep.
She went through it again this year to finish first. That's 2 years she's performed in front of Jedward, and Jedward have really liked her. I don't know if that's going to have an impact come Sunday afternoon, thanks to Jedward being on the expert jury here and giving out points, but we shall see. But assured, confident, and somebody very, very comfortable in their own style.
Exactly, and everything we've seen her wearing so far, it's certainly a unique style.
Yes, and I think that you don't have to have your costume on during during these tech rehearsals.
No, and to be fair, this first technical dress rehearsal, she didn't have her costume on either, so we, I expect, going to have a very surprising costume to look forward to on Thursday.
And Zina is very much a woman who knows the style she wants.
Absolutely. She's harking back to sort of this grunge emo thing. But it's, you know...
Which I don't have a problem with.
I don't have a problem with it. It's very comfortable.
I mean, it's obviously retro now for everybody else. But for us, we're just like, yep, that's what children of that age wear because that's what we do. Yeah, let's not go to those photos ever. Ever. No, we're never, ever going there. Okay. I've got about 2 or 3 million lists here. Cyprus came up third. And I think if I'm looking down that list, and I'm honest right now, Cyprus was the biggest surprise of the day. It was... they've just got exactly how to fill that stage and what to do. And if the goal is to get the enthusiasm of the singer down the camera lens, George has got this absolutely nailed on already.
Yeah, absolutely. Bundle of energy. I really enjoyed this. I obviously had some misgivings in terms of whether or not he'd be able to pull this off. There is a big choreography sort of going on here. But the vocals don't seem to be lacking, and it's a really good package.
Before yesterday's rehearsal, I must admit, it was either going to be right at the top or right at the bottom of the scoreboard. And after seeing the rehearsal yesterday, actually, it's a strong favourite for the show, considering where it's positioned in the running order as well. It comes just before the last song.
There's a lot of dance moves going on, but what I like is there's dance moves and then there's time for him to catch his breath. George is never asked to sing and dance at the same time, which means... I know that sounds a weird thing to say, but he can then do the dance move and then take a second, get the breath, centre him around the singing, get the lyrics, and then punch through.
He's also one of the very few boys in the field. I mean, that should help him, I would say. And he's been announcing before in interviews that I'm going to make a big act and I'm going to make a big deal out of this. And now we've seen it yesterday and he actually delivers and it looked really, really good.
Not only did it look really, really good, but our guy to he should be able to break out is... If you were to put this on the Euroclub dance floor at the adult Eurovision events, but not tell them it was a junior song, would they still dance to it?
I would say yes.
And at that point there, it's like music transcends the barriers. It doesn't matter about the age. You're just enjoying what is a riot of reds and whites and smokes and throws and...
Fire.
And fire. Bum, bum, bah. Yes. And it's still just a tech run-through. And... To quote many an old sweat from Ireland, hi Keith, thanks for listening. We know you are, but you'll never tell us. It's still just a rehearsal.
It is still just a rehearsal. We've got another two lots to go through, really.
He's not locking the elbows out. He's not giving himself that perfect top line. He's not tensing the muscles. He's just walking through the moves, making sure that he knows what to do, but he's just holding back a little in the tank. Again, that professionalism coming through.
And that's what makes me very excited for this song now.
So, to the Netherlands. A riot of colour, but not necessarily in the best way. Richard?
Yes, the costumes do clash with the background. That it's sort of 80s sort of wording over black costume, and then the background is rather vivid. And come the chorus when you've got all these lips, you sort of, it just all clashes, it's messy.
To be fair, we're absolutely certain that that is the costume, or are they just testing out ones? Because
we're not absolutely sure.
Yeah, because when they came into the press centre later in the day, they're wearing these cartoon dresses, these like little images of cartoons, and I thought that might be a far better option for a costume.
And there's no harm in doing those camera tests. And I would expect them to do that because they can see this in the viewing room. If we're looking at something and just going, you know what, that doesn't work on screen. The delegations can see that as well. Now, it may be that they have a very strong belief that, no, this is what we want to present because middle-aged Scotsmen aren't on the jury, so we don't need to appeal to them, which is a fair tactical point. But at the same time, you know, they can see as well as we can. What I liked about the girls from the Netherlands is... watching their confidence improve. Their first run through was really shaky, but as they got to the end, it's just like, are confident in this space. They're able to talk to each other. They're able to have a laugh. And all three of them were supporting each other.
It's not like they don't have any experience in doing TV stuff.
No, because the Dutch had a national selection. Exactly, it's televised. Yeah.
So exactly, and they've been on other shows in the meantime as well, presenting their songs, and they've always looked happy and confident. Of course, they had to get used to the stage here, probably, but they did, and as it progressed, they improved.
That sort of support experience, let's just break away from the houses for a very brief second. We go back to the hotel lobby last night. We're sitting there having dinner and just gossiping as us old people do at events like this. And Steve, who doesn't want to be known as one of those old people just yet.
Doesn't mean I don't gossip.
That's why we like you. You can stay. Is the table behind us, there must have been about five or six of the performers, all mixing, all laughing with each other. I'm not quite going to say that they're pairing off, but you could certainly see the older ones are just going, well, there's only three boys. Destiny's here. God, but when you boil down what Eurovision is, right to the very essence of it, that idea of it's about bringing people and communities together and understanding, that table behind us for me typified Junior Eurovision, and to a certain extent Eurovision as well, of everybody just gets on.
It does. It transcends, obviously, a lot of barriers when it comes to the culture, the language. We're seeing, you know, Zena from Ireland lead her girls across the lobby, you know.
She's like certainly holding court, going, we got over here now, and everybody's following her.
Yeah.
It's like, how scary must she be? She just went, that's me, I'm Queen Bee.
Her in a docks marching across.
Yeah. I mean, you got to say, so like, yeah, following you. There's going to be a rumble. I'm near the Irish girl.
Absolutely. And I think the whole delegation's like that. They're certainly holding up the bar.
Oh, yeah. It was quite a late night last night. Still, God love that. But, you know, when you get to the end of Junior Eurovision, you'll see that at the winner's reprise, everybody goes on stage and everybody is singing that song at the end, even though whoever wins will be the one with the microphone. And that's not faked. That's not, you have to go up there and have fun. You know, these are people who will stay now connected right the way through the rest of their lives.
Yeah, you get the impression that they make really good friends. In the age of social media and things like Facebook and Twitter, it's so much easier to stay in contact now. And I think they really do make friends for life.
Yep. And of course, Junior Eurovision itself, as we've seen with the Netherlands, can be a launch platform to go much further into a musical career, as we've seen with Eugene.
Yeah, and well, we have a...
For a bit of background, they were the Dutch singers from 07 at Junior Eurovision?
Yes. Yes, and when it was in the Netherlands, in Rotterdam. And they're now going to Kiev to represent us. So yeah, it can be a stepping stone. And when it comes to friendship, it's not just the artists among themselves who make friends. But I saw Alexa when she was recording her postcard yesterday. And she was there with a whole class of Maltese school children, roughly her age, who were following her everywhere she went during that process. And they were exchanging email addresses and singing together and having fun. And as you say, that's not fake. That's the beauty of this contest, I think.
So moving on to the afternoon's rehearsals, we started with Israel, who seemed to get a little bit extra time. There seemed to be their rehearsal time, but then they also got a little bit of extra time to block out. Now, I know that Israel were a last-minute addition to the show. Steve, I'll turn to you as the person who said that they quite liked gossip. The extra time for Israel, any ideas?
No, well, I noticed it, of course, when I was here yesterday. They came at the last moment. Were they not prepared? I don't know. But it did seem like we've seen the same thing six times all over again. I didn't really have the idea that they were making a lot of big changes during these run-throughs.
What it might be is it's such a late stage. One of the things you have to do about 6 to 8 weeks beforehand is actually send in your list of camera shots and how you want the stage to be. It could be that they just didn't do that in time. They came in at the last minute and they said, right, so you get an extra 30 minutes. You're not allowed to look at the monitors, but you can block out your time. So I suspect it's something like that.
That's what I'm suspecting as well. I'm suspecting that obviously they do these submission of videos in a sort of blank room with the camera angles and the like. So what they're doing is blocking the camera angles for now on this actual stage.
And then they get their proper rehearsal.
Correct.
But in any case, if that's what they need to get to the final product, and they... And the EBU is always very careful to make a very level playing field in terms of rehearsals. Extra time is usually for a very specific reason. I mean, I can think of three. The pyro at Dusseldorf 2011 when the glass box would explode for Sweden.
That, they needed that immediately.
They needed some extra time. Yeah. Junior Eurovision 2012, when we were back in Amsterdam, they needed some extra rehearsal time because they were giving more wind machines to the Swedish act. So they got an extra 10 minutes of tech. And the Russian act that year as well got an extra 10 minutes because they were adding extra pyro in. So they needed to give her two run-throughs with pyro on stage just so it was happening. So they're scrupulously fair. So I think it's going to be something along the lines of, well, we never got the details. But in any case, we then went through to the actual tech rehearsal of that. We have a duet. It's a classic Eurovision duet here. It's by the numbers, but it's the only one out of what we've seen so far that's going to get anywhere close to this sort of style. It is going to be a different visual look to everything else in the contest.
Absolutely. And I think when I was sitting there watching it, even though it seemed like they had that extra time, they were still working out their camera angles, but the performers themselves, they know that sort of, if you're talking about production, the distance that they need in a duet to make it sort of the girl and the boy story and the coming together and the working around.
There's a lot of theatre training that's evident in the Israeli partnership there, that they know how to move around the stage and in relation to each other. That's really good to see. And it is starting to come through the camera lens. You can see this duet coming together.
And there is chemistry between them, unlike other acts from previous.
Yes, contests. we have seen duets at Adult Eurovision.
And Junior Eurovision,
and Eurovision
to be fair.
As well, yes.
I'm not going to name names because that's not fair on the kids, but there's definitely been lack of chemistry in previous years, but Lev come on stage and you could see they work well together, the chemistry's there, and actually Lev got the package ready.
Yeah, and Follow My Heart is such a traditional sounding thing. I think it's one of the ones that the older Eurovision fan tuning into Junior for the first or second time is probably going to come up to this song and go, this sounds like the sort of thing that I'm used to.
Yeah, they will be, and it's not my thing, but it's definitely it's the only one out there, as you've mentioned. It's unique, and it will attract a certain type of... Well, there's no televote this time, but even among jurors and stuff like that, it will attract... if there's a group out there, and there is, that likes this type of song, this is the only one they can go for.
Yeah, this is the play into the adult jury vote, I think, in this one. That they've decided, where do we think we can get our points from? The adult jurors. And they're gunning for that one, and then hoping that they can pick up some for the kids' juries, give them a nice, good mid-table result. But in any case, wherever you finish here, there is a future because you have acts that have continued to come through Junior Eurovision, not necessarily won, but are still in the music industry, still doing well. We mentioned Federica in yesterday's show as well as being one of those ilk. Macedonia. We were worried, let's be honest, that this could be a bit of a visual car crash. And it wasn't.
No.
It was a nice, solid performance. It's not in the stage costume. We've seen what the stage costume is going to be, and it's quite sparkly. But disciplined, competent. It was everything that we'd hoped a Macedonian act could do.
Absolutely. Well above my expectations. We've seen some very messy performances in prior years. I think what benefits this one is I know that they are a dance troupe that actually have operated together for about seven years, something like that. Yeah. They've worked together.
So there's that sort of sixth sense of when to put the foot down at the same time as everybody else.
Exactly. And normally they give a lot of choreography to their acts, may not necessarily be dancers. She's a dancer first and a vocalist second, and she's actually a very competent vocalist.
And this is the thing, by not making any mistakes, not drawing any attention, it actually helps the performance. If you have a very performance with lots of things going on, and you make a visual mistake, it's quite easy to stand out. Here, you just dialed down the sort of complexity to get more precision, and it's actually improved the performance by much more than they lost by dialing it down.
Yes, and it was certainly very competent. I'd like to second Charlene in saying that. compared to previous years, and in fact competent compared to some of this year's act. And because they've had previous experience, that helps. It was modern, it was fresh, and it worked really well, I think.
The only problem I still have with it, though, is this kind of like mid-tempo song after 1-2 minutes doesn't really go anywhere. And for me, it seems she certainly did a good job. The rehearsal was much better than I expected, but I still think it seems to last 4 or 5 minutes at times. Maybe that's also because we see it 4 times in a row.
But what it is it's, we actually had the luck of talking to the actual person that wrote this song last night, and he kept saying...
Gossip number two.
Justin Bieber. That's exactly what is on the radio right now. So
that get up, stay steady, keep it going for however long you need to, and bring it down again. Variance is not a big thing in the pop music today.
And like I mentioned in Jukebox Julie, it's got this sort of throwback to the 90s summer anthem feel. That's probably what attracted me to the sort of thing.
A little bit of everything.
Yes.
A little bit of everything sitting in there. Host country Malta was up next. And the problem that I have with Christina singing Parachute is the same thing that I had with a Cypriot acted adult Eurovision with an act, Christina's Taxes, I think it was, with a song called Jump. And quite simply, she ended the song standing on a box and did not jump.
Song Firefly, wasn't it?
Firefly, yes.
But she said jump at the end very and then end, stood
and
on a box
didn't
and
jump.
Went, jump.
So you now have a song... yeah. So you now have a song here called Parachute, which is all about falling. And we've been reliably informed by people who are connected to the delegation, there is no parachute.
Hmm. Yes, that's an opportunity missed.
Yes. They do have dancers who are pretending to be in free fall by standing by lying on those skateboards that you use to move Marshall amplifiers around so they can spin round like it's the opening credits of Moonraker. That's fine, but no parachute.
For me, with the whole performance, it just seemed to lack so much energy compared to the preview video we were shown however many weeks ago. And I just, at this moment in time, I don't think it has any chance. Had it been the full energy like that preview video, there'd have been a lot more for it.
Do I want to say this?
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe they don't want to win again?
Maybe, but then we'd have to believe that Father Ted episode is actually true. And the standing rule is, it's just a story, it doesn't happen. Nobody's ever tried to bring us a popular song from the charts into their national final and sing it again. No, that's never happened.
I just think
there
it's...
There she goes.
I just think it's a shame they are lacking that energy because it could be a really good performance. Even if the country doesn't want to win it again, give it all that energy, you know, give it all that pizzazz, give it all that sparkle.
To be devil's advocate, it could simply be that we haven't seen the energy coming out. They're all just again, working it through, blocking it through, seeing what it looks like on camera. But when they bring in the trolleys to do their spin around, it just looks cheap, and unless you know that's how you go in a free fall moment, you're just thinking you're just lying on the floor spinning around. What's this?
Yeah, and it's also that they have the backing dancers who do their moves and who project this part of the song, but I didn't feel like there was any logical visual connection between them and the singer as well. And maybe it could still improve. There is still a second rehearsal round and still the beginning of the week. But right now, I didn't see that.
Yeah, to be fair, look, we're in watching the first rehearsals. Camera angles can change. Costumes can change. We're not allowed in the theatre at the moment. So we're not seeing anything behind the scenes. We're seeing it on the television. And... in the case of yesterday, we did miss some of those. So we're seeing, you know, the startings of rehearsals.
Things
can change.
It started rehearsals. It's about 2/3 of the way through the entire process of getting the song from concept onto Sunday afternoon on the contest. You can't lose it here. You can't win it here. But what you can do is you can see where you're hampered where you've got your strengths and you can see where the weaknesses are. And those are naturally magnified because it's rehearsal time. As we said earlier, it is rehearsals. That's the point of a rehearsal. But if you were to put the Cypriot rehearsal next to the Maltese rehearsal, for example, you could clearly say that Cyprus has got their head screwed on a little bit more, has something a bit more coherent. They've only got to polish the edges. Malta needs to do a heck of a lot more work than just a sort of little tweak on how much smoke they need to put out onto the stage to make it work.
And considering we're on home territory as well, you would have expected that it was a slight bit more...
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Right. Poland closed off the day, and we were kind of anticipating this one because we've put a lot of stock in. We think Poland's going to do quite well, haven't we, Charlene?
Yes, yes.
We're going to have a lot of egg on our face when they're like 15th, and we're going to go, what happened?
Yes, but I wasn't disappointed by this. Actually, they came into it very professional. I think we have seen the costume for this one.
Yes. Just sort of like an ostrich feather bull skirt with a very tightly almost boned white top.
Yes. And she went full belt on her vocals yesterday, I think.
What I liked was she came out and the first one she did, she came out and she went bang, hard, really hard, straight out the box. And then every other one was just, let's just run it through. Yep. So it was a wonderful, it's what I call almost the confidence song. It's like, do what you're going to do on Saturday night, Sunday afternoon. Go out from the dressing room, go on stage, hard as you can. Right, now we're just going to work on the camera. We just need you to run at 80% power. Same as we said there with George with his dance. You know, he wasn't pushing it all the way out. She decided, because Olivia just stands there. She doesn't do anything else. All the movement comes from the camera, from the projections, and from the screens behind her. Again, like Cyprus, just needs to polish the edges here.
It is literally just the odd camera angle here and there. They haven't changed anything from the national final performance from what I can see. Even the background, as I anticipated in Jukebox Jury.
Yes, well,
what they're going to do with the LED screens.
Have a Prosecco wine, Gum Richard. Well
done.
Thank
you very much.
They exist. We found them.
And I think you can buy them in the UK. What was I saying? Yes, the background. The whole performance, it's literally just the camera angles they've got to tweak here and there, and it'll just be a really polished, well-done performance and a good way to close the first half of the show.
Yeah, the background, for those who haven't seen it, was like a sort of outer space with, instead of a planet, a heart flying around there.
Yeah, you had a blue heart and a purple heart, and they're going round each other, and they're just sort of carrying on that sort of... So it is kind of a duet, but it's just her doing it. But there's just that little subtle in the background of people going around each other. Yeah. The song, if I remember, translated to something like, "Don't forget, do not forget me," and so on. Yeah. So there's just a nice little gentle sort of idea going on behind.
Yeah, and about her voice... it's not just that she's performing it right here, right now. You said you've anticipated it. She was one of the very few artists who sent in their national performance, I think, as the official video.
Yes.
And you can easily do that because she just brings it live
and
so
it
well.
It wasn't even the national final over the closing credits. It was the competitive one of that. Now, there might also be some budgetary reasons for that choice as well.
Yes, but in some other cases, I won't mention names, it would almost have been impossible. And in her case, it's very well possible.
Indeed. Poland and Cyprus, I think for me, are the big winners out of the rehearsals yesterday. We'd already sort of kind of pegged them out as being best of the top. And actually, they're both in the top half, aren't they? No, Cyprus is second half, so it's the best of the top and best of the bottom are on show there. We're going to be seeing the sort of second and third place ones coming through rehearsals today.
And in plump positions of performance as well. And
certainly, as well as we discussed yesterday on the running order show, with Cyprus running second last, 16th out of second, and Poland running eighth, pretty much as late as they could go realistically, with the songs available for the producers to decide the first half of the running order. Richard, anything else that stood out for you yesterday?
I think, as well as Poland and Cyprus, but also the Netherlands, I thought outstood really well. And I think for the first time in a couple of years, they stand a good chance to win. And they're also just before Cyprus, so they're at a similar good position as well.
If I had to mention a third besides the two that you also mentioned, for me it would be Italy. it's very simple, but song is a personal favorite of mine, I'll admit it, but I thought she did it very well, both vocally and in the way she worked with the cameras, so I thought she was very good as well.
Italy's got a lead in, Ukraine is singing 10th with a softer ballad, and then Italy comes in at 11th with a strong Italian ballad, so there's a nice lead in there that allows you to go, it's not sawtooth, it's just a ballad next to ballad, and you can go, which of those two ballads is better? It's a much easier... It makes it much easier for the brain to go, Italy's a better ballad because they're next to each other.
Yeah, and it's also, it's not, there's enough contrast there still, because they're not exactly the same type of songs. It's basically the same with, I think you have the Netherlands and then Cyprus. They're both upbeat, but they're very different from each other.
But they allow more of a similarity, which means it's easier to judge them. So, you know, yes, you won't like your sawtooth for entertainment, but there's another force at play. And that's your EAC Insight podcast for today. It only remains for me to say thanks to the web guys who've been keeping me right and giving you some lovely opinions as we've went through today. We had Richard Taylor from Eurovision Ireland.
Thank you for having me again.
We have Stephen Gorkin from EAC Daily.
Thank you. It was great being on the show.
Firstly, as it is first time we had you on, so just a little bit more. What's EAC Daily up to for today and the rest of the week?
Following all the rehearsals, following the most important junior Eurovision news, of course, from Australian perspective, so everywhere Alexa goes, we'll be there as well.
And Charlene Wright, who's not following Alexa everywhere she goes, but is probably keeping an eye on things quietly from the hometown as well.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ewan.
It's more from ESC Insight today. More articles going up. We'll have our second episode of Jukebox Jury. Will be aired. We've already recorded them. Rehearsals don't influence them this time around. And the usual updates going through Facebook, Twitter and such like. It will also be giving you details of how you can listen to ESC Insight's commentary team covering Junior Eurovision live. So you can watch the visuals online and you can get us down the line and hear everything that's going on here backstage at Valletta. But for now, it only remains for Steve to take us to the end of the show.
Wait, was this where I played the guitar?